Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to this weekly Torah study from New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, taught by Pastor Scott Sigmund. We pray this message will help you better understand how God's Old Testament wisdom and New Testament revelation are meant to jointly fit together.
Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome to the Torah study. It's hard to believe that I'm entering into what I think is my 14th consecutive year of teaching Torah at New Beginnings, and just love gathering together. It's what keeps me going. If all I was an administrator running Larry Huck Ministries, I guess I'd be rejoicing in the Lord because I'm working for the Lord. But this is what I love to do, and I'm glad that you're a part of it with me. So many of you have been faithful to attend for so many years. And you know that one of the goals that we have is that we want to unite the old covenant wisdom God gave with the new covenant revelation God gave. If Jesus is the Word and the Word was made flesh, then Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers are the Word of God as well. And so at New Beginnings, we give you the full gospel. There's a gospel in Genesis all the way through Revelation. Because we believe God's word is God-breathed, right? And it contains the blueprints for a successful life. Before I got saved in my 30s. At age 30, I suddenly, bam, you're a Christian now. But a lot of it was because I hadn't lived a successful life. I wanted that successful life. I chased it in all these different directions, what I thought was success. But now through the scriptures, through a relationship with the Lord, I'm on that pathway. God's done great things for both you and I, right? But he's not finished yet. There's still more in front of us. And so our best is what? Yet to come. And so this opening Torah portion in Genesis contains some of the most incredible scriptures and teaching in all the Bible. And God always wants us to look below the surface of things to find the secrets, the principles that will help guide our lives. And so that's why you're here today. You want to dig a little deeper. Amen. And so perhaps one of the most profound scriptures is in Genesis 1, which is, you know, this is the opening Torah study for the year. And in Genesis 1:26, mark it if you haven't already, it says, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Wow, what an amazing revelation to get a hold of, that you and I have been made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we have the life of God in us, right? We have the mind of God, the Bible says, that we have the mind of Christ, amen? And so in the context of how God presents this in Genesis 1, it points us to the idea, the concept, the principle that God has instilled in each of us creative power. In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let's give mankind the ability to create. So each of us have creative power, and that's a good thing. Amen. There's a second scripture in Genesis 2 that connects with this. In verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Here again, it speaks to the life of God that's in each of us. And in turn, it tells us that each of us have divine creative power in order to do many things. But the first thing that he says when he gives us this, this scripture that we're going to make man in our image is so that he can take dominion. right? And so all of us need to find a way in our lives to take dominion, to partner with God, to partner with the scriptures, to partner with the Holy Spirit, and find a way forward where we're exercising spiritual dominion and authority at home, on our job, in our community, in politics, in business, in finance, in education. You and I are people on the rise. God is working in us to elevate us higher and higher and higher. We are climbing the ladder of success. And thank God it's leaning against the right wall. Amen. And so as a result of all of this, we're going to make the world a better place. We're not just trying to get smarter and improve our lives and take dominion and authority so we can be tyrants. So we can be dictators. No, it's so we can be benevolent and establish the goodness of God and show and display the goodness of God, because we are His voice on the earth today. And so this is all just kind of at the very core, at the very essence of creation. We were created to create. Amen? And when we discover that and learn the principles on how to use that creativity that God has given us, it'll be life-changing. Who can use some more life-changing power in your life? Amen. So when we talk about being made in the image of God, some of the great rabbis have said it's having the power of reason and intellect. Okay, we'll take that. I want to work not just harder, I want to work smarter. How about you? And I can use God's wisdom in my intellect to figure things out, to make sure I'm accomplishing things the way God wants. Another rabbi said it's having dominion over the plants and the animals. All right, well, we'll take that too. If I'm not going to be out in Alaska at any time soon, but if I'm out and there's a animal charging me, I want to know the power of God in my life to stop that animal in its tracks. I can actually remember that actually happened to a friend of mine and I. We were just finishing 18 holes of golf. How fun. And we're out in the parking lot putting our golf clubs away. This happened about 20 years ago. And down the parking lot a ways, there was a van with two mean dogs, big dogs. And the guy in the van had left the van window open. And while we're sitting there putting our golf clubs away, all of a sudden we see these huge Doberman Pinscher style dogs charging us, barking with all their money. There was no time to pull a club and defend ourselves. All there was time to do is we looked at those dogs and with all of our might, we said, "You stop in the name of Jesus." And those dogs skidded to a halt and ran back in and leaped up into the window of the van, and we won the day. Thank God that we have dominion over animals and other things. It says over every creeping thing, so I guess it means we have dominion over creeps too. Being made in the image of God means having a free will, one rabbi wrote. And we do. Thank God we have a choice in life. We can choose life or death, blessing or cursing. How many of you choose life and blessing today? I see that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. Amen. And so there's many other examples, but at the very basic sense of it all, they all agree with the literal reading of the text that we're created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore we have the ability to create our world through our words. God said, God said, God said, and that's the divine principle for you and I today, that we need to learn how to say it the way God would say it. Amen. 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 And as we do, it will create life and overcome death. This is all connected to the very famous scripture, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. If you love to speak negative, you're going to get that fruit. If you love to speak positive, you're going to get that fruit. It's a divine principle established at creation. And so we can either speak positive or negative ideas. We can either speak positive or negative proclamations over our life. Who's going to speak the positive and not the negative? Good choice. Amen. There's an ancient translation in Hebrew called the Targum. And this translation from Genesis 2:7, man, God breathed into man and man became a living soul, a living being. This translation says man became a speaking being. Man became a speaking being. And so this is how we release creative power. You're endued with creative power. That's the good news today. That's the gospel today. You have the creative power and the life of God in you. Now let's release it in God's way and not the world's way. When we speak and when we pray, we're either creating blessing or cursing. We're either defining our circumstances with hope or hopelessness. We're either building up faith or tearing down faith. We're either creating light or we're creating darkness. Look what it says in these two scriptures in Hebrews. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. This is from the Passion Translation, and it says, the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor. Amen. The exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. This is where we're headed. We're headed to be a mirror image of Almighty God. Now, we'll never quite make it because I don't think anyone's going to be walking on water anytime soon. But our heart is, our goal is, our ambition is, what we're striving for in our Christian life is to become more and more like Jesus, a mirror image of the Lord. But notice what it goes on to say. It says, he holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. Oh, that's a sermon right there. Amen. That your universe is going to be held together and even expanded by the power of the creative word of God coming out of your mouth. We need to learn God's language, not just the English language. Are you with me? Amen. There's another scripture in Hebrews 11. In verse 3, it says, faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Well, if we're created in the image and likeness of God, then some of this needs to be happening in our lives. Let us get that image, that picture, that our world, your family world, your health world, your financial world, your ministry world is created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's word. Isn't that great? And even though you may not see everything happening and lining up in the natural, behind the curtain in the supernatural, God is not going to let his word return void unto you, the scripture says, and it will accomplish. Well, I tried that and it didn't happen by five. Look, we're not in this thing to try it. God has a timing, but he's looking for faithfulness out of his people. Not belly achers and complainers, but people of faith that see beyond the natural and continue no matter what, continue to stand. You keep standing, lady, on your prayers of healing. You keep standing, man of God, on that breakthrough you need with your children. You keep standing on that, and eventually that thing is going to manifest. Amen. Come on, somebody. Praise God. So our personal universe will either be coordinated by the positive power of God's word or the negative declarations and reports of secular words. We have a choice on which way we're going to choose. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 12, verse 36. On the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Now, I don't know what kind of judgment comes with all of that, but I can tell you, don't wait to get your words in line when you pass through the pearly gates. You start right now making sure that what you're speaking life, you're speaking blessing, you're releasing hope and faith and love instead of all the negative things that the world wants you to get wrapped up into. It says here, it goes on to say, Jesus went on to say, by your words you will be justified and acquitted. I'll take that. Or there's bad news, by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. Who wants to be justified and acquitted in the eyes of the Lord? Amen. Good thinking. Amen, amen. And so why did Jesus say we would be judged by our words? Because there's creative power in our words. And he needs every believer around the world speaking life, speaking victory, declaring we're overcomers, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We need to be loosening righteousness and holiness and godliness on our school systems, on our relatives, on our nation, on the nations of the world. We need to pull down powers and principalities, take authority and dominion over what's evil and what the devil means for evil, and establish righteousness, godliness, and holiness. Amen. Right? Amen. So what are we learning here? Is that you have creative potential. Right? I grew up a football player. And every football player, they talk about potential. Oh, he's got great potential. And we all have great potential. But that great potential in football, for instance, won't be fully maximized unless you work at it. Right? It doesn't happen because you just show up. It matters because you roll up your sleeves and get to work. When it's all said and done, there's usually more said than done. And I never wanted to resemble that remark. Amen. And so be a hard worker. I already learned my lesson what happens when you don't work hard. Once I got saved, I said, no one's going to outwork me at studying the Word of God. No one's going to outwork me at prayer, outwork me at giving, and on and on and on. Now, that doesn't mean that you're the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it means you're open to, Lord, if there's more sharpening to do, sharpen my saw. Amen. The more positive and promise-oriented your language is, the more confident and optimistic you're going to be. Amen. Amen. The more creative and insightful you are, it's going to help you identify how to get your breakthroughs. There's no magic to it. It's not like the Bible is some kind of Aladdin's lamp that you just, if I rub it hard enough, poof, genie God pops out, and the first thing you say, my first wish is 1 million wishes. We partner with God, and we apply ourselves. It's like Reinhard Bonnke once said when I was a Bible college student. He came to our Bible college. You've heard me say this many, many times. The gospel is like soap. It only works when it's applied. How many of you are applying the Word of God in your lives? Amen. Keep it up. The fact of the matter is, God created us each at a genius level. I'm taking that. Thank you, Lord. We were born with the potential for extraordinary creativity. Psalm 139, 14 out of the Voice translation says, I am your unique creation. This is me thanking the Lord. I am your unique creation, filled with wonder and awe. You have approached even the smallest details with excellence. You're imbued with power, with creative power, and with excellence, a spirit of excellence. Your works are wonderful, O Lord. I carry this knowledge deep within my soul. Oh, amen to that. The key here is to carry the knowledge that you're fearfully and wonderfully made deep within your soul. Look, things have happened in our lives. Even our closest friends and family may have disparaged us and criticized us to the point where we can't even see the genius quality, the excellence that God has embedded in each of us. But God is saying today on this very first Torah study for the whole year, it's a new beginning. In the beginning, I am making you to have creative power and a quality of excellence within you that will help you overcome all things. Who takes that into your life today? Amen. Well, then turn and tell somebody, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. In the beginning, God created man in his image and likeness, and with that came creative power. We have got the life-giving, creative-giving power of God living in us. Einstein once said, every child is born a genius. But what did Einstein know? He's right. The world's tried to suppress that quality of genius, but now that you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, nothing's impossible. There's an unlimited amount of possibility for where God can take you. Amen. But the reason why most people don't function at genius levels is because they don't realize I'm made in God's image. Put that on your bathroom mirror. And every morning you're looking, I am made in God's image. And I can't lose with the stuff I use. Amen? If you don't realize that you're made in God's image, then you're going to be defined by someone else's expectation instead of God's. I'm not letting politics define who I am. I'm not letting my current situation define me, restrict me, and limit me. I wish it would all happen like Aladdin, right? Boom, you're a prince. Boom, you've got everything. It doesn't happen that way. There's no get-rich-quick schemes in the kingdom of God. You've got to work at it. You're a Christian gardener. First you plant the seed, and over time, as you water it and tend it and cultivate it and keep the buzzards off it, eventually it'll produce the harvest. That tells us there's a test of time we need to pass. Stop failing the test of time. Right? When things get uncomfortable, that's not the time to leave the church. That's not the time to run back to the way it used to be. You're not living a Barbara Streisand life the way we were. God says the way you were, the way you are, the way it will be. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you'll follow me, follow my instructions, and realize you've been made in the image of God. Amen. Wow! Bam! In a commentary on Genesis, a famous rabbi wrote, the most fundamental principle of all is that man must create himself. Man must create himself. This is true, right? We're a new species of being, right? When we got born again, old things passed away. Everything became new, but just in seed form, right? Now we're on a journey, and we need to partner with God to create ourselves, to do an extreme makeover. The world made you over one way. God wants to do an extreme makeover in you, and that takes effort. That takes work. That takes time. We need to discover, as we're on this journey, how to unlock our God-given creativity and potential. Look, if I can do all things through Jesus Christ, I want to know how to flow in that power of doing all things. I want to achieve some things, accomplish some things. I'm not here to be like a frog in a hailstorm. There's some people that watch it happen. There's some people that make it happen. And there's other people that sit around, what happened? Let's make it happen. Two-thirds of God's name is go. Let's go. So God designed us to be creative. Not everyone's going to be creative the same way, of course. We don't all have the same assignment. We're not all made and wired the same way. But whatever way you are, sanctify that thing, develop that thing in you, because creativity, like faith, is a muscle. If you don't use creativity on a regular basis, you either use it or lose it. I was reading about this in an article, and the guy mentioned that you could call it the Schwarzenegger effect. No one would look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, Conan the Barbarian, and think, boy, how lucky is he to have been born with such tremendous muscles. Everyone knows that he worked thousands of hours in the gym building himself up. Don't make church a religious exercise. Make it a creative exercise and build yourself up on your most holy faith, praising and praying and worshiping and sowing and believing and loosening your faith and expectation. That's how you win. That's how you build yourself up. Amen. Thomas Edison, maybe the most creative genius in all of human history, certainly in American history, once said that creativity is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. Think of that. Man, it's the work that we do. It's not just the idea, but what do I do, Lord, with this creative idea, and how do I make it come to pass? Hard work. The only place that success comes before work is in the dictionary. Right? Edison worked hard to invent things. And even when an invention like the light bulb failed, he would always say, I'm one step closer to finding out what works. I'm one step closer. It didn't work that way, but there's another way. God, I'm going to stay at this thing. He also said many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. It's like the late, great Ross Perot. Most people fumble on the 3-yard line. Edison went on to say, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. So this is all showing us that creativity and success is not just a matter of IQ, right? You and I have been given the power to create, to release dominion and authority. We have the power to think and grow into something greater than we already are. We can solve any problem, overcome any doubt. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That tells us we're not powerless. Don't buy into the lie of the devil because you didn't have this education or you were born on the wrong side of town or whatever the case might be. Through Christ, you are not powerless. We've got the power to create our world, to frame our world, to coordinate our world through the Word of God. Pablo Picasso once said, "Inspiration exists, but it has to find us working." Or how about the famous Christian quote, "Pray like everything depends on God, and work like everything depends on you." Amen. To look at it another way, creativity can simply be looked at as improvement, making improvements. It's not so much being born with this magic gene. And boy, from the moment I was born, I was going to be a NASA rocket scientist or some kind of great musician or artist. It's more about developing the ability to improve your situation. Right? Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can improve your situation. And if you improve in just small ways, it doesn't have to be these gigantic improvements. If you just improve in different areas in tiny mustard seed ways, you're going to move mountains. Oh, come on, somebody. The amount of creativity you're using is pretty much up to you, right? If it's to be, it's up to me and the Holy Spirit. But we want to be open to the idea that there's possibilities out there. We got to shed that pessimistic mindset. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind and begin to see things the way God sees. I created you in my image, he says. And that means you have the power to create. Create things that bring life, that bring joy, that bring wealth, that bring healing, that bring happiness, and jettison all the other stuff. People that are flexible and adaptable in their thinking are far more creative than those who are inflexible and rigid. Check yourself. It can only be done one way. No, it can't. There might be a dozen ways, 101 ways. You just need the power of God flowing in you to show you the exact way to solve that problem, to overcome that obstacle. Don't be the guy who always gets stuck thinking there's only one right answer. There's only one right answer. Amen. For you to live in a spirit of creativity, it really can be an idea explosion. Man, I pray all the time that ideas will just explode in my mind and God will fill me with wisdom and revelation, show me some things on how to overcome, on how to advance the ball. For goodness sakes, I didn't get into Christianity so that I would walk around with a crutch. Amen. Nothing against you, Harold. Right? But I had to understand some things and relearn some things. For instance, there's a great concept that teaches creativity prefers the prepared mind. This came from the great microbiologist and scientist Louis Pasteur, who invented pasteurization and many, many other scientific discoveries. He said that you need to ready yourself for greatness by taking the steps you know how to take in order to be prepared. Yes. Challenge yourself today that you're going to take the next steps forward with God. Amen. Stay open. Don't be inflexible and rigid. Stay open because there's great opportunities coming. Well, they didn't come for me. Stop that. Stop rehearsing the curse. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. I got an attitude of rejoicing in my spirit. Something good is about to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Researchers who work on all of this stuff, on the study of the brain, they call those breakthrough moments aha moments. Ah, aha! Eureka! And they found that those who stay mentally prepared with a high level of focus will have greater insights even prior to a problem presenting itself. The problem hadn't even manifested. The obstacle hasn't even revealed. But because I'm preparing myself, I'm staying focused, I'm staying on the path, I'm walking with the Holy Spirit, I'm doing what I know to do to keep myself ready, even prior to the problem presenting itself, I'll have the answer to overcome it. Let that sink in for a moment. What they're saying is that your brain wants to engage in aha moments, right? Come on. The dictionary defines an aha moment as a moment of sudden realization, inspiration, insight, recognition, comprehension. And if we'll stay open that, you know, my God can do all things. If we'll stay open to that, there's a solution coming. Even if you're unaware of what that solution might be, you're maximizing the possibility for an aha moment. Because creativity prefers the prepared mind. God gives us aha moments. I pray you and I get an aha moment today. Even now or in the worship or whatever it is, sometimes aha moments come at the most unexpected times. But the aha moment, we need to pay attention to that. God, open my eyes to what's possible. Illuminate scripture to me, a word today for me that will bring improvement in my home, on my job, in my career, in my health, in my ministry, whatever it is. Amen. How many of you could use a new awakening, a new beginning? We're studying Genesis 1. It's in the beginning. God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. Bam, you have creative power. And don't let any theology or any preacher or any devil or any secular humanist tell you that you don't have the living power of God on the inside of you. And that living creative power can change anything.
Amen.
Amen. So in the beginning, there was creativity. Being creative is a way of life. You need to begin to act creatively and you'll be creative. Right? But if you keep acting stupidly, you're stupid. Right? Even Forrest Gump knew that, right? Stupid is as stupid does. So it's not rocket science. It's just deciding and learning what you got to. What do I got to do to be creative? Well, I could give you 101 things you could do. And if you do those 101 things over and over and over again, you're on the right path and you'll get the results you're looking for. All right? So I don't have 101 things. You make up your own list. But I made up a list of five. Five biblical ways to generate more creativity, more aha moments. Number one, develop a prosperous soul based on the promises of God. You know, if the only scripture you know is John 3:16, Houston, we got a problem. Now, unless you just got, even people that aren't saved and living for God know John 3:16, right? You need to know more than John 3:16. You need to have the weapons of your warfare, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the Word of God. You need to have like 100 bullets in your holster, various scriptures for various situations. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul train." Just as your soul is prospering, right? Get a prosperous soul, right? Don't play video games for 12 hours. You can watch the Michigan game, though. Go Blue! Number 2, read. And study, especially in your key fields of interest. Proverbs 8:12 in the Living Bible says, "Wisdom and good judgment live together." Did you get that? Wisdom and making good decisions live together. You can't have one without the other. Wisdom knows where to discover knowledge and understanding. And the King James Bible says of that, "And find the knowledge of witty inventions." God wants you to find the knowledge of witty inventions. It doesn't have to be, you know, a new Tesla. It doesn't have to be something grand. It can be just something simple at home that you've been struggling with and can't seem to get a breakthrough on. And God is saying, if you'll study and read and present yourself as someone who's trying to be approved in the eyes of God, "I'm doing my best, Lord. I'm praying for a breakthrough." God, you are doing your best. You're putting some effort into this thing. Bam! There's the witty invention. Amen. Number 3, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues for wisdom, creativity, guidance, and insight. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "You see, a person speaking in an unknown language is not addressing the church because he's really addressing God. Those who overhear him don't understand because he is speaking in the spirit, the depths," watch this, "the depths of the mysteries of the Lord." Why does the devil fight tongues when it's right there in our Bible again and again and again? Because when you pray in that unknown language, you're stirring up something, the depths of the mysteries of the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. Makes you want to pray in tongues right now. Number 4, listen for the voice of the Lord, and he'll show you great things. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." The know-it-all shows you just how much they don't know. "Lord, show me some new things. Open the eyes of my understanding. I call upon you. You said that you'll answer and show me great and mighty things. Things that I don't know, but once I know them, Lord, it'll lead to the breakthrough I've been looking for." And number 5, change your language from negative to positive. Do a lot of teaching on that here. But it is a key principle started in Genesis 1. "And God said," what do you say? Are you blessed or cursed? Are you full of faith or faithlessness? Full of hope or hopelessness? Full of sickness or health? Full of prosperity or poverty? You decide based on the word of God. James 3 says, "Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that they can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue, a small part of the body, yet it carries great power." Amen. I really believe this is our year. It's a new year on God's calendar, and problems that you've been facing are about to be solved. Obstacles that have prevented a breakthrough in your life are about to be removed. You've got goals and desires that you've been carrying in your heart. They're about to be achieved. Come on, somebody. Because you are a genius in the family of God. You have creative power that God has endued you with. And you are going to have revelation. You're going to have inspiration like you've never had before. And I release that over all of us in Jesus' name today. Amen today and amen. Seal it with a big praise. Hallelujah, Lord.